This is an Eye on Annapolis bonus podcast.
Well, today we're talking with a man who, from what I hear and what I read, had the unusual opportunity to play in a band that was a huge influence in his younger life. And Kurt Griffey, the lead guitarist of Revisiting Creedence, is on the line with us. How are you today, Kurt?
I'm doing good.
Did I get that right, man? Was this like a dream come true for you?
Well, sure. I mean, I've had a long career of playing with a lot of people, you know, that I listened to when I was younger. You know, I got that in later years got to work with them, which, you know, we can go over some of those. But yeah, you know, I had the Creedence double album, you know, Chronicle when I was a kid. It's probably one of my first records. And then, you know, years later to be, you know, touring, you know, for several years with Stu Cook and Doug Clifford, you know, the original drummer, bass player. It was a pretty cool dream come true kind of moment, you know.
Say, I am excited to talk to you and even more excited to see you when you're here in Annapolis at Maryland Hall on April 16th. And I did just take a peek before we hopped on the phone. There are some tickets still left. So for those that are looking for an amazing Tuesday night or maybe an excuse to go drown your sorrows after paying your taxes, head on over to ramsheadonstage.com or marylandhall.org and get tickets. This will be one fantastic show. I'm not going to lie, trying to keep up with the trajectory of Revisiting Creedence is probably left for like the PhDs among us, because you know, we started out with what we all know is Creedence Clearwater Revival from 68 to 72. And then you had Creedence Clearwater Revisited, which had many of the original members from CCR from 95 to 20, right?
Yeah. It was Stu Cook and Doug Clifford. So, I mean, Tom Fogerty passed away, I believe in 1990. So it was, Creedence Clearwater Revisited was two of the three members. You know, just John Fogerty's been doing a solo career for, well, since he left Creedence. You know, he's been on a solo career, you know, most of his life. So,
and then you jumped in here at Revisited, right?
Yeah, when it was Creedence Clearwater Revisited. Now, Elliot Easton from the Cars was their initial guitar player when they reformed in put that together in 95. And when he left in 04, and they actually called me about replacing him. And at the time I was working with, you know, Greg Raleigh from Santana and Journey, you know, the original singer, keyboard player of both of those bands. And they bought me a plane, Stu and Doug, you know, from Creedence had bought me a plane ticket and everything to come out to Reno. And I ended up backing out on him and I never went. You know, that was back in 04. And it's mostly because I kind of thought about it and I wanted to, you know, pursue or, you know, see the thing with Greg Raleigh through, you know, I ended up playing with Greg for about 10 years. So yeah, it wasn't until about 2011 when, they called me again, and then I did take the gig. So I ended up playing with Stu and Doug for almost 10 years.
So, and now we're Revisiting Creedence.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, our Dan McGinnis, you know, lead singer was, you know, he also was, you know, in Creedence Clearwater Revisited. So Dan and I toured together for, you know, several years. I mean, he started filling in for John Tristeo, who was their original singer, you know, in the Creedence Clearwater Revisited. I mean, even before I was in the band, Dan was filling in here and there. And then when Johnny had some health problems, he toured for the whole year. And then John never got well enough to come back. So he became the singer for the last several years. So it's Dan and I, you know, we the whole time we were playing with Stu and Doug, we knew, you know, eventually they were going to retire. So we would say to each other, hey, you know, what do you want to do after this? You know, do you want to keep playing the show? You know, we had so much fun doing it. You know, it's such a great show, great set list. So we, you know, once they retired, we thought, hey, let's go out and play some gigs. You know, we'll call it Revisiting Creedence. You know, so and it's so far it's worked really, really well. You know, I mean, same music, you know, same singer, same lead guitar player, you know, same fun set list and all that. It's just, you know, we miss Stu and Doug. We keep in touch with them all the time. But
what can we expect from a Revisiting Creedence show at Maryland Hall on the 16th?
You know, it's just, it's really fun. You know, I mean, for people, you know, you got the diehards who they know, you know, they know all the songs. In fact, we throw in a few every now and then, we'll throw in a few album cuts that only the diehards are going to know. But for the most part, people come and they forget how many hits there really were, you know, there really were. It's like every song is just all night long, one after another, you know, just major hits. So, I mean, people just, by the end of the show, they literally go bananas, you know, they're just going crazy.
You know, I love a show, and I've found myself in situations like that before going, oh, crap, I forgot they did that. Oh, that, oh my, you know, and it's just time after time after time. I mean, you know, you look at some of the hits. I mean, you got Susie Q, Heard It From The Grapevine, Bad Moon Rising, Born On The Bayou, Fortunate Son. I mean, it just goes on right, and on.
Oh, yeah. It's just, yeah, and just when you think you've heard them all, then, you know, there's another one. You know, it's just, like I said, it's an hour and a half of just nonstop, you know, hit song after hit song.
Susie Q, I had a chance to see Roy Buchanan before he passed away back in 89 or so. And when he did that, I was just like, oh my gosh, it was a small little club outside of Philadelphia. And it was just like, blew my mind away. But do you guys have any plans for an album, or are you just going to stick to touring?
Well, we're just, yeah, no, at this point, we're touring. I mean, in the back of my mind, I think about doing, you know, of course, you know, Dan and I both write and record stuff. So, I mean, I think about, you know, Dan's got such a great voice, and he's so, you know, kind of unique in his own right, you know, because if people ask me all the time, does your singer, you know, does he sound like John Fogerty and all that? And he really doesn't at all. You know, Dan's very unique and, you know, does his own thing, but he's such a great singer. You know, people, you know, love to hear him. You know, I like to hear him sing these songs. You know, he really fits it. But, you know, the song is, you know, to me, you know, I kind of like to go for more of a real authentic kind of performance rather than, you know, not to put a tribute band down or anything, but the guys who kind of impersonate, you know, I feel like, you know, you can't be completely honest if you're trying to sound like someone else, you know? So we kind of go for more of an honest approach to it and just do like real authentic performances of the songs, even if, you know, even if they're not note for note, just like the record, they're real anyway, you know, is what I would rather do, you know. That's kind of the difference maybe between being more of an artist versus being a, you know, a cover band guy, you know.
Well, I would never say that Revisiting Creedence is a tribute band. Obviously you give a nod to the music of Creedence Clearwater Revival, but the roots run a lot deeper than a bunch of guys getting together and saying, hey, let's go out and, you know, be a cover band for Creedence.
Yeah. Well, even with Stu and Doug, you know, they didn't, you know, they never said, oh, play this exactly like the record, because they didn't either. You know, they play how they play, and they, you know, the live versions were one thing, you know, the record's a different thing. But, you know, the main thing is to kind of is keep the spirit of it, keep, you know, do your own thing, but, you know, make it sound like you belong in the band, you know, kind of, you know, don't go so far that nobody recognizes the song, you know, that kind of thing.
As a musician, do you prefer to be in the studio, or do you prefer to tour?
You know, it's funny because you know, when I first moved to Los Angeles, you know, and I thought, man, I gotta be a studio guy. That was the thing I thought, that's what I really need to do. And I did that for many, many years, and still do a little bit. But the reality is, you know, I kind of don't care for doing a lot of studio work. You know, over the years, I kind of realized it's not my favorite thing. My favorite thing really is to play live. You know, touring and playing live is what I really love.
Recently, I was talking with, I guess it was Rod Argent from the Zombies and Jim McCarty from the Yardbirds.
Right.
And they were both really psyched about, and I'm starting to sound like an old fart here, but, you know, today's kids discovering the older tunes and loving them. Sure. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I hate to admit it, but, you know, CCR's tunes, their hits and everything else are more than 50 years old at this point. And
right.
I mean, are you finding that your audiences are trending a little bit younger as you go out and play live?
You know, the kind of the amazing thing about the Creedence, you know, we noticed this with, you know, we're still playing with Stu and Doug. It's got the widest, you know, demographic. I mean, we have young kids there singing the songs, and they're, you know, I mean, we had a kid, I had a video, I think it was on either YouTube or Facebook, of this kid just dancing up a storm. His dad had exposed him to Creedence, and, you know, this kid is probably like 7 years old, but yeah, we get these 7 years, young kids that know it, and then all the way up to, you know, people in their 70s and even 80s, you know,
I'd liken that to a Dead concert. I mean, and I'm not a huge Dead fan, but I've been to a couple of concerts, and very few artists. And I would say that, you know, CCR's music is able to transcend different generations. I mean, you're likely to see a grandfather dancing with his son, you know, you're likely to see three, four, maybe even, I don't know, five, but three or four generations all grooving right next to each other on the same thing. And music really bonds it, man. You know, it's the universal language.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed that really with the Creedence thing more than other, you know, people that I've toured with, what a wide demographic there is, you know.
Hey, what's on your playlist today? What are you listening to other than Creedence tunes? What's on, you know, if I were to mug you, take your phone and pull up iTunes and see what's on there, who are you listening to?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I like, or especially the last year or two, I listened to a lot of like Buck Owens and Merle Haggard. one of my guitar hero that I loved, he passed away years ago, was Don Rich, who was Buck, you know, of the Buckaroos, Buck Owens guitar player, who really learned a lot of that. Even though he kind of had this style, he learned a lot of that from Buck Owens. But you know, him and Merle Haggard, I love older country stuff. I mean, some of the newer country stuff's fine too, but it's, you know, it's a different thing. There's still some great writing going on, but it's harder for me to listen to now. There's less and less stuff on the radio that I like, but I do, you know, I like a lot of the country from like the early 90s stuff I liked. And then I'll turn around and I'll be listening to Van Halen. You know, again, I kind of got a bit on a Van Halen kick again. You know, that was one of my big influences growing up, because I was really a rock player, you know, for many, many years growing up. You know, I was way into Van Halen, Ozzy Osbourne, you know, like I was a big Randy Rhoads fan back in the day. You know, so, and another guy which I just met him briefly and saw him play was Yngwie Malmsteen. You know, and he was a big influence back in the 80s, you know, at the time. So yeah, it's kind of a wide variety, but
nothing wrong with that. Hey, what would you have been doing, Kurt, if your life had taken a different trajectory and you weren't musically inclined?
Man, that is a great question, because when I was in high school, I was supposed to be looking at colleges and trying to figure that out, you know, trying to figure out what do I want to do. And all I could think about was, I want to get in a band, you know. And my senior year, I auditioned for some guys out in Lincoln, Nebraska that were putting a band together. And I drove out there and I auditioned. I grew up in Iowa, actually, by the way. So I drove out there, auditioned, got the gig. I told them I can't move out here until I finish high school, which was at that time was a few months away. And I went home and dropped this bomb on my parents and said, you know, I'm not going to college. I'm going to join a band, you know, because I just felt like if I didn't at least give it a shot, I'd be kicking myself, or, you know, years later, I'd be going, man, why didn't I at least try? You know, so I never did really figure out another like a plan B, you know. And I think a lot of times, especially if you're a musician, if you do have a plan B, like you know, something else that you could possibly do, at some point you're going to end up taking the plan B. That, you know, plan B is going to become plan A, because, you know, the only way to really persist and make it in this is to have no other option. You know, I kind of got to a point where it's like, there's nothing else that I can do. A lot of ups and downs, but I was kind of fortunate, you know, to be able to make a living at this and be able to raise, you know, raise kids and have a family and, you know, somewhat normal life, I guess.
As normal as it possibly could be, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're out on the road and stuff all the time and, you know, sleeping on tour buses and stuff, I mean, it's a little different than most people's 9-to-5 jobs, I guess.
As we wrap up our time here, there are still some tickets at ramsheadonstage.com or marylandhall.org, and the Revisiting Creedence show is Tuesday, April 16th at 7:30 with doors at 6:30. You can and should check out their website, revisitingcredence.com, as well. I've got one final question for you, Kurt, before we hang up here. With such classics on your set list, when you step on that stage, is there one of the songs that you just never get tired of, or maybe it has a special meaning for you?
You know, the funny thing, there really isn't a song that I don't dig. I mean, a couple of the ones that I probably because of the certain spot in the show, the energy level kind of kicks up. But long about the time we hit Bad Moon Rising, you know, we usually do Bad Moon and then, you know, right from there head right into Proud Mary. I don't know. I still get a kick out of both of those tunes. Bad Moon, especially, for some reason, is just a really fun song. As Long As I Can See the Light is another one where you talk about something that kind of has, I don't know about a particularly a special meaning to it, but that, you know, we collaborated with Stu and Doug on that to kind of make a kind of a cool version. And again, that's where Dan McGinnis kind of comes in and does his own thing. And it's one of my favorite versions of that song that I've heard anybody do. I like playing it, but I actually love to listen to Dan sing it. You know, I really dig that song.
Well, Kurt Griffey, I want to thank you so much for taking your time out of your morning out in California to talk with us. I can't wait to see the show again. It's Maryland Hall on April 16th. I wish you safe travels out here and can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, man. It'll be nice to meet you in person.
I see earthquakes and lightning. I see keep on.
be coming home soon. Long as I see the light. Yes, I've got that old traveling bone. Oh, 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 oh. When will it leave me alone? But I won't lose my way, no.
Has been a bonus podcast from Ion Annapolis. Please visit us at ionannapolis.net. Follow us on Facebook at All Annapolis and on Twitter at Ion Annapolis. And if you haven't subscribed to the Daily News Brief podcast, go for it. And all of your local news will be delivered to your phone, tablet, or smart device by 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday.